Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, as you may have seen yesterday, Wimbledon has announced it will no longer have line judges. They'll be replaced by artificial intelligence, an increasing trend among tennis tournaments around the world. It's a move that many will regret as it chips away a bit at the history of the competition and the traditions of it. Hebe Lawson knows a bit about that. She used to be a ball girl there. Afternoon, Hebe.
Good afternoon, yes.
How do you get to be a ball girl?
I went to a nearby school to Wimbledon. So we had to train up at school and then...
And do they put up a poster or something saying, do you want to be a ball person?
Yeah, they sent an email around school and I, as a young little 14-year-old girl, was like, yeah, sounds like my kind of thing. We'll give it a go.
Yeah.
And then trained for a year at Wimbledon and the rest is history.
Yeah, you trained for a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And what does the training consist of?
Oh, everything from fitness skills to drills to knowing the game inside out, knowing the rules, all the little skills you see ball kids do. The rolling has to be perfect. The feeding, which is when you pass it to a player, that has to be perfect. Weirdly, a lot goes into it.
Okay, and does everybody make it during the training?
No, definitely not. You start with, there are at least a couple hundred ball kids at the beginning, and every week they mark you out of five for how well you do on court that week and how good your skills are and all of that. And each week you wait for the email to find out if you will be back the next week. Like, God, it is brutal.
That is serious pressure.
Oh, it's like a training camp. It's really intense. So I remember every week when I was young, just being like, am I going to get the email? Am I going to get the email? And you got the email, you're fine, you're through to next week. And it goes right up till the tournament, not until you've kind of got the kit on and you rock up to your first day, do you know you're actually going to do it.
And the people who didn't make it, would they be tremendously upset?
Oh, yeah.
Especially if it was the week before.
Oh, yeah. It was, because I trained for the first year and didn't get in. And then I was so determined, I went for it again. And that was the same with a lot of the ball kids. But yeah, it was gut wrenching if you went through like months of training and didn't get in.
And when you the first time you did it and then you didn't get in, did they tell you what it was that you needed to work on?
A little bit. So it was, you kind of knew what your flaws. I knew I was quite chubby at 14, so I had a feeling it might have been the fitness that brought me down. Like, I knew the game quite well, but I knew I had to get my fitness up and get my running perfect and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but when you say fitness, that means your ability to get the ball off the court as quickly as possible.
Yeah, well, more than anything, you're standing there for an hour on court nonstop, focused, intense. Just, you have to be so quick, you have to be so agile. You know, the kids who have to run either side of the net, they have to do it so quickly. Incredible amount of fitness goes into it.
Yeah.
I've lost all that now, but I was really good at the time.
Yeah, and the concentration aspect, you can't really afford to be distracted for a second.
Yeah, you need to know things that I think a lot of people watching the game won't even think about. You need to know when the balls will change. You have to actually change the balls that are on court because they've been worn out. You need to know when the like match point, when how tie breaks work. You need to be, if not ahead of the umpire, if you can be. And at times you would be, and it was really impressive if you got it before the umpire did.
when you go to get a ball, do you go to the other side then and stay there? Is that the way that works? Or do you have to go back to where you came from?
No, you've got to go back. That's where the sprints come in. Unless you're at the net where you can just sit on the other side of the net. If you're at the back, so I was one of the bases, so I was at the back. You have to run, and you have to run straight back, and you have to stand still, and you have to snap into gear, and
Yeah, and are you given a kind of any, when the ball lands in this part of the court, it's your ball, and when it lands someplace else, it's somebody else's?
Yeah, you just have to pick up kind of your cue. You know roughly how much of the court is your area.
Mm.
You just get used to it. That's why there's so much training going into it. You know. But then there are times when you have to kind of work with your teammates and know if it's just crossed that line, it's either person's ball. So you then go, you might both go for it and then go, okay, no, it's fine, you're quicker than me. You go.
And now, would that be like mortifying if two people go for the same ball?
Yeah, because it would mean you get marked down, because you should just know. It's really intense. On every court at Wimbledon, so while the championship's actually going on, there is someone sitting marking you out of five, you individually and as a team.
So even during the championship, you can get sent home.
Yeah, so halfway through the second week, they don't need as many ball kids. There aren't as many matches.
Oh, yes, of course.
You can get sent home. And also, the ones who score so highly, they're the ones who'll be doing the finals. So you are ranked constantly and you become incredibly competitive with your fellow teenagers.
I can imagine. So in a way, you're working your way through the championship as well.
Oh, yeah. You want to be the top top team at the end. You want to be your, and you all get numbers. So I think my top team I went into was J out of the whole alphabet. So double A would be the finalists.
Yeah.
And I think I got up to J at one point, and we did the men's wheelchair doubles final, which was amazing and was an incredible achievement on our part because we worked so hard. And having started as Team J, to get to a final, we were clearly doing something right.
Okay. And but the double A's, would they have been a bit older and more experienced than you?
Sometimes they might have done it a year before, but sometimes they're just faster, or they just have put more effort in, or they're just better. Like, they've just scored, had better days at it. They might just be training every single day.
And did the organisers in Wimbledon form you into teams, or do you kind of apply as a team?
No, the people who organise it, the trainers, they will put you into teams because you need certain heights. You need the people at the net to be short. You need the people at the bases to be tall. There's one captain on every team and a vice captain. And the captain's usually maybe a year older, so they know what they're doing. A lot goes into it.
Why? Were you ever hit by a ball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of course I was.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that happens all the time.
A lot of people get hit by serves. And if they get hit by a serve, you can see how fast the ball was going.
You can feel it as well.
I got hit by a smash. And I remember going into the hospital, the like first aid bit at Wimbledon. And they went, oh, how fast was the ball moving? Like, it was a thing. We've got the fastest so far is 120. Was the ball moving faster than that? And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know, but it really hurts.
Did it hit you in the head or what?
Yeah, in the face, in the eye, actually.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I was very lucky it wasn't a serve.
Did it swell up? Were you badly hurt by that?
No, I was all right in the end. I don't know. I think it's just the adrenaline and everything just keeps you going. Because you're on court. You've got to stay on court. You can't just run off.
Yeah.
So I was on court for the end of the match and then got taken to the like mini hospital and got checked
out.
Oh,
so even though you'd been hit in the eye...
Oh, yeah.
Sometime before that, you kind of stayed.
Yeah, I've had teammates like faint on court, and that's the only way you'd be taken off like during a match. But if you can keep going, you keep going.
Okay. And in that kind of instance where somebody smashes a ball into your eye, does the player even notice? Do they apologise?
Oh, they apologise.
A little wave. Okay.
Not all of them apologise. Sometimes they're too in the zone or they're just not very nice.
Yeah.
But I can't remember who it was, but the guys who, it was doubles, I remember that, because I didn't know which direction
it seemed doubles afterwards.
Exactly. But yeah, they were very apologetic.
Okay.
And also with your kids, so they're kind of, you look like you're in pain because you're a child.
Yes, I would have thought so. Oh my God, I didn't realise it was as pressurised as that. Who and of the players that you've had to deal with, who were mean?
Renowned for being mean is Kyrgios.
Yeah.
I just remember him just being, he's so in the zone and angry about everything that goes wrong. And it's, you kind of, to a point it's fine. And then it's also like, you're talking to children, like.
And was he like mean to, oh God, was he mean to the ball people too?
Because you're having to, well, this was before COVID, so you're having to hand them towels and things, and you're feeding them three or four balls. And if they're not nice to you about it, it's very obvious. I had Heather Watson once, and she was a legend. She was so nice. She would say thank you every single time you hand her a ball, and she doesn't need to do that.
Mm.
But it really, you really remember when they're really nice to you. But he wasn't the best.
God. There you go. And do you get paid for doing this?
No, you don't get paid, but you do get like a expenses kind of lump sum of a little, like it's by no means is it kind of minimum wage or anything, but you get a little bit of money for your time, and you get a huge amount of kit that you can sell on.
Yeah,
which I did.
Okay, fair enough. So you can't make a profit out of it. And the now that they're getting rid of the line judges, because I imagine Wimbledon, I was there once years ago, but you kind of get a vibe that's steeped in history and it's been there for such a long time and all that kind of thing. I assume people there would feel sad about it.
I was really sad to hear it. It was the talk of the WhatsApp group with me and my parents, because we were just like, there's something to, it's not called, you know, an open or, you know, a match or a competition or a championships. It's Wimbledon. It's just pretentious and Wimbledon, and it just is what it is. So to take away something that's been going for what, 150, 178 years or something crazy, to take away that, to me, is really sad. And having stood next to those Lions judges, and they knew it like the back of their hands, it was part of their lives. Like, it's just really sad to see. I understand why, but I think it's a real shame. because they were, and also they probably get paid as well, so there might be some kind of money involved in it. But I think it's sad to see. It's also sad that it's only the French Open left now that will have line judges. And I thought Wimbledon would be the last, which is a shame they've jumped ship soon.
Because I imagine being a line judge, at least, like, you're probably bent in a similar position that they are, but you get to move occasionally. They have to stay that way for hours on end, like just staring at a line.
They do, but they're so fun. I met some great, they're chatty, they chat to you, you know, they're older, they look after you. Like, they really loved what they do. And I love them. And I think it's just, you know, there's so many things you wouldn't get rid of. It's just a shame that's the first thing to go.
But isn't there, does that create a kind of a problem for them? Because don't line judges, you know, if they get to be really good, they become umpires then, like as in the big chair kind of thing eventually. So they don't have that pipeline anymore.
I'm assuming not. I didn't know enough about them, but I think that it's just a shame that they won't be there to kind of enjoy it. It's like saying, take the hats off at Ascot. You just wouldn't do it. You know, there are things that just go with it. It's Wimbledon. You wouldn't get rid of the strawberries and cream. Don't get rid of the
Somebody wants to know, do you get to keep the balls? Or if you were at, like, this is like best match I've ever seen, slipping in me pocket kind of thing.
No, you would be sacked on the spot.
Really?
For that. Yeah, almost certainly. But I did get a tin of balls at the end with a big X on the top showing that they had been used, but you have no idea what court they were used on. You get a little gift, like a little goodie bag at the end of stuff.
Do all the ball people have to like carry off a big sack of balls and bring them someplace?
Sometimes. So you do the ball change where you change the three tins that they keep spare. You change them for the other ones, but you're never carrying that too much. One of the other weird things we had to do is we have to take tennis players' rackets to the restringers.
Which
is great fun.
Yeah.
And so I got to take Nadal's racket, and it was probably the highlight of my life. To be able to say hello to Nadal and say thank you.
Okay, I would have thought Nadal had people to do that kind of thing.
Oh, those people are us. It's the ball kids.
Wow, okay.
He'd obviously have loads, but if he's mid-game and he needs something done, we're the ones to go running through the crowd and take the racket.
Okay, and it's done there and then. The restringing is done. Okay.
Yeah, he'll obviously have a second racket to play with, but we got it. Yeah, I got to carry it through the crowd. Had hold it really high so no one could touch it, and take it to the restringers. I love saying that story.
Did people try to touch it?
Oh yeah, it was great fun. It was like a game in itself.
Yeah, I imagine the handle was a bit sweaty.
A little bit, but he was very nice.
That's
about
okay,
it.
But it was Nadal sweat.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's just retired, so like you have some of Nadal sweat embedded in your hand.
He said thank you to me, and I will always remember that.
Well, I know they're having to concentrate, but you'd think, you know, thank you was a kind of a bare minimum.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, sometimes they don't, but Nadal did.
Yeah. Is this kind of a job you age out of?
Yeah, you can't do it over the age of 18.
Okay.
It's only in school. So I didn't do it for the final year. I could have gone for it because I had exams and things. And I thought, right, 3 years is enough because it is draining and it takes up your whole year. Like it becomes your main, it's a sport in itself. Like I never did sports at school. I never actually played tennis really. But I was so into being a ball kid. I did it every year. It became my hobby. It was my sport.
Yeah.
It's a really weird thing to have gone through, but I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
But it sounds like one of those things that it's so intense, you're probably going to sleep at night and then dreaming about it.
It's very strange. If I ever pick up a tennis ball now, I'd snap back into it. We had a few tennis balls in the office and I was just playing about with them and I did a weird little move and I was like, oh my God, I haven't done that since I was like 17. What is going on? Like, I remember that. That's so weird. It's like riding a bike. You never forget it. It's really odd.
God, that's an extraordinary memory. Do you have reunions at all, the ball kids, where you kind of...
No, there's so many of you. There's 250 every year that actually get to Wimbledon. Yeah. So,
But even your team?
I haven't. Maybe I should, really. We all just go off to different places. You know, I moved here, so I'm probably the last person to think of.
Hebe, that was fascinating. Thanks so much for coming in to talk to us today. That's Hebe Lawson there, former ball girl at Wimbledon.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.